Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Broadcasting System. I'm here today with my partner and friend and co-potter, JJ Sefton. It's getting warm here in Paris. It's getting really fucking hot, actually. And I'm living in a in one of those gorgeous 150 or 140 year old, five story apartment buildings that Paris is covered with. Unfortunately, none of them have air conditioning, so it's going to be an interesting summer. Anyway, Sefton, how's the weather in sunny Wisconsin?
Well, it's a little overcast, a little drizzly, but it's been very warm of late. Summer is arriving, and that's a nice thing. It's nice to be able to get outside and walk a bit and do a little yard work if need be and whatnot. But a little drizzle this morning, but it is what it is, and we're happy to see it. It's certainly better than 20 below zero and 5 foot snow drifts. So I'll take that.
Yeah, this is true. So obviously the big story of the week, the year, and very possibly the first 25 years of this century is the fact that Israel has finally gone after the Iranian nuclear program, and they've gone after it in a very, very big way, very impressively, with a combination of in-country sabotage, in-country weapons that they shockingly and astoundingly built inside of Tehran, and then a fantastic Israeli Air Force attack on their anti-aircraft, their anti-missile systems, their aircraft, and then of course they decapitated Iran. They killed a huge number of their very, very top officials. Their security apparatus, their military apparatus, their Quds, whatever they call them, the crazies who are dedicated to the destruction of Israel, and so on and so on. And it's been quite impressive. And Iran simply does not have an answer. They have launched hundreds of missiles, primarily targeting Israeli citizens, because that's just what they do. These are murdering psychopaths. They don't consider that there are any rules in war. And they even at that, they didn't do a very good job because Israel was so careful to go after their launchers and go after the means of production for their missiles. They simply don't have an answer to Israeli technology and Israeli audacity. And I think it's going to get worse for them before it gets better.
Agreed. I mean, and were it not for the October 7th Hamas-Hezbollah combined invasion and pogrom against Jews in from coming from Gaza, that would have normally been Iran's means of retaliation. And so it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. Did one beget the other? Did I mean, it's interesting to ponder because, of course, Israel had been going after Iran's nuclear scientists and essentially, murdering and not murdering, but assassinating them and eliminating them for several years now. And of course, the Stuxnet virus, which sabotaged their centrifuges and so on and so forth. They have been sabotaging and degrading their nuclear program for many years now. But even with that, Iran had been able to, enrich enough uranium fuel to potentially build at this point A or one or more nuclear weapons, which could have been deliverable on some of their missiles. And Israel was just incredible in what they've been able to accomplish. And it's not only degrading that ability, but also at this point, it is potentially going to destabilize and potentially take down the entire regime. I don't know if you saw this, CBD, but the Shah of Iran's son has taken to social media encouraging the Iranians and to liberate, to help liberate themselves from the mullahs. And in point of fact, there are man in the street interviews. There are literally Iranian citizens that are saying, "Hey, while the missiles are falling on us, we're dancing in the streets." So that kind of tells you the mindset, or at least, maybe it's anecdotal, but knock on wood, hopefully, the whole damn shit house can go up in flames and we could have hopefully a liberated Iran. What comes after that is anybody's guess, but at least the mullahs won't be there.
Well, that's the thing. People forget that Iran is a psychotic, theocratic dictatorship, and their crackdown on anything that they consider less than perfectly Islamic has been horrendous. They've beaten women to death for showing hair on the streets. Their prisons were until recently filled with political prisoners, apparently many of whom have escaped or simply been allowed to leave. The plight of the typical Iranian is horrendous. They ration electricity, they ration fuel, they do everything they can to get foreign currency, which they use to further to pay for their program of the ultimate annihilation of Israel, and then, of course, the United States and the West. So again, it's easy to forget that, but the Iranian people have been miserable for 46 years, and even ignoring the existential danger to Israel, it was long past time that the West did something about that, because Iran is straddling the line between East and West, and it could very, very well have been a vibrant member of Western culture. But we allowed, well, we didn't allow, Jimmy
Jimmy
Carter,
Carter.
in his infinite wisdom, pushed the Ayatollah, allowed him to gain power, and the Iranian people have been suffering ever since. So, what should we do about that? Is it the job of the United States to free the Iranian people? No, but is it the job of the West to make it at least difficult for the mullahs to subjugate their people? Yes. And of course, they've fallen down on that job completely. And Israel, tiny little Israel, 10 million people Israel, has to step in and do the job that the West is incapable of doing. And they're doing it very impressively. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
And that's okay. And that brings us to the question of the hour, which is, should the United States now, I mean, whatever intelligence and logistical support and other support it's giving to the state of Israel, notwithstanding, should the United States now directly get involved in taking out the last remaining and potentially the most important Iranian nuclear site, the Fordow facility, which is buried inside of a mountain, by using, as we said, the bunker buster bombs delivered as only, perhaps only from heavy bombers, although we have speculated, and correctly, that they could be delivered out of the back of a cargo plane via parachute and a GPS. And Israel, I think, may even have that capability to do so. But the question is, should we become directly involved in a decapitation strike against the Iranian mullahs, or to bring down the government, or at least to help them, Israel, eliminate the nuclear threat once and for all? And our feeling, I think, has been, generally speaking, it probably would not be in our best interest politically right now to do that for a number of reasons, and I kind of still sort of feel that way.
I'm of two minds. I wrote yesterday over at Ace of Spades on my morning rant, in my morning rant, that it wasn't a good idea, that Israel should be given the tools to complete the job. But there is certainly an argument to be made that the United States should step in, because the mullahs have been, chanting death to Israel for 46 years, but they've also been chanting death to America and death to the West. We are in a war with Iran. We just don't realize it, or many of us don't realize it. And if you go back to the Marine Corps barracks bombing, oh hell, I mean, there's a list of 25 or 30 Iranian sponsored terrorist attacks that have killed Americans and a lot of Americans.
The Achille Lauro incident,
Yeah, it's it,
several
it's.
Bob Robert Stidham and the airplane hijacking,
Oh,
which, although that was
was that an Iranian?
the Palestinians,
Yeah,
but
that
you can
was,
better believe that
yeah.
I'm sure they were probably
Yeah.
given aid and assistance and comfort. And of course, even though it was Argentina, there was the Jewish the Jewish center in Buenos
Yeah.
Aires that was
But I'm talking
bombed and
about direct attacks
obliterated
on
by
the
the
United
United
States,
States. Yes, there are
and
many
this
of
is
them.
that, the country of Iran attacked us, and we did not respond. And I think that it's past time that we do respond. Now, should we be sending our B-2s in, and dropping the what is the GBU 57, the big bunker buster bomb that we have, the 30,000-pound bomb? Or should we
The
simply
amendment.
be supplying Israel so that Israel completes the job? Again, my preference is that Israel does the heavy lifting for a couple of reasons. One, they are certainly in the crosshairs right now. But also, I think the message sent to the Islamic world would be powerful if Israel did it on its own. You know, tiny little Israel beats the snot out of one of the largest Muslim countries in the world. And, you know,
Right.
that message is a good message to send.
Yes, and for, however many hundreds of years, the enmity against Jews and the hatred of them, it would be such a psychological blow on the Islamic world that Israel was able to do this. It's
Absolutely.
that would, who knows what the repercussions or reverberations of that could be in the quote unquote so-called Arab street. Again, let's look at Egypt, for example. It is weird how, although Israel was able to finally ultimately win against the surprise attack of the October 73 war, Egypt has made a museum essentially in at the Suez Canal where it initiated its surprise attack on Israel and considers the October war a victory against Israel when it got the crap beat out of it, along with Syria and the other armies. It's kind of, they have this very warped and twisted mentality of things, but whatever.
Well, it's a profound inferiority complex, but we can go into that on another day. By the way, there was an interesting article over at Blaze Media, written by a guy named Chuck DeCaro, about how Israel can actually use the GBU 57, and they can simply modify one of their civilian planes. The article's actually quite interesting and worth a read. So head over there and take a look. I got an email from one of their editors after he read my piece at Ace of Spades and said, you know, we wrote about this yesterday, so I feel like an idiot. I should have read them. But
It's all
they
right.
suggest
Well,
that the GBU 57 could be put onto a the one of the six Boeing 777s that Israel has. So, you know, what the hell? Anything is possible, and I wouldn't.
I mean,
Go ahead.
I recall, I mean, just from just being a sort of a military buff, watching films even from Vietnam, how they used to deliver these giant, like 10-ton gasoline bombs off of the back of a C-130 Hercules and drop them with a parachute, and then they would airburst and literally wipe out an entire clearing and create a landing zone for the troops to come in on helicopter. And the same thing out of the back of a, out the back of a C-130 or of a C whatever, out of a, instead of delivering pallets of cash to the mullahs, we can deliver ordnance, and this and it's parachutes in, and it's on a delayed fuse, perhaps has a rocket booster on the end of it, and it could, it can cause some serious damage, especially if delivered from altitude. And certainly Israel has the technology to, for guided munitions and bombs that has clearly demonstrated that's pretty common. So yes, it can be done. So
I agree.
we shall see.
Yeah. So let's move on to a sort of an amusing topic, and that is Tucker Carlson, who has apparently been dropped on his head several times in the last couple of years, and is sounding more and more like a conspiracy theorist and a fucking idiot. He had a long, long interview with Ted Cruz, and it was just filled with these stupid gotcha questions. He thought that he had just skewered Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz didn't know the exact population of Iran. And you know, I watched some of this interview, and it was really embarrassing. And not for Ted Cruz, who comported himself just fine. It was very embarrassing for Tucker Carlson. He has lost focus. He has lost the idea of American exceptionalism, and he is simply going after someone he doesn't like very much, and that is Donald Trump. And you know, I hesitate to say that he's a bit of an anti-Semite here, because it sounds like Israel is the subject of most of his vitriol. And
Yeah,
I don't know.
he's had a
I
couple
think
of columns. He's
he's
had a
just not nearly as smart as he used to seem, because he doesn't have the luck, I guess, to have good editors who control what he says on the air. This is all him now. You know, we see the unvarnished Tucker Carlson, and it's not very impressive.
Yes, he has had several columns or over the last, especially since October 7th, that have been very, very fringy, borderline, even at that, maybe crossing the line into, the typical Jews control the media, Jews control American foreign policy in favor of Israel territory. And it's like, come on, man, you're theoretically, or at least I thought you were better than that, but I guess he has devolved into what Rush used to label him as Chatsworth Osborne Jr. I mean, he's just,
That's awesome.
it's Rush, we miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're smiling down on us from heaven. But yeah, it's just, something, just because somebody supports the state of Israel, just because somebody is saying something positive towards the state of Israel, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, doesn't make them, and doesn't make the usual thing of, oh, Jews are controlling America's foreign policy towards their own end. It's this whole, what is it, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion territory. And it's disgusting to see someone like Tucker Carlson, who used to be a pretty decent fellow and somebody that I thought was someone that we could rely on our side to be, to be, but it's well, it is what it is. What can you do?
Well, he's conspiracy theorying himself into being a non-entity, so
Absolutely.
it's too bad. Anyway,
Oh,
so
well.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that the left is screaming for, and that is banning the wearing of masks for our police. And I think it's a very interesting question, not because the left has I mean, their reasoning, of course, is absolutely incorrect. What they want is policemen to be exposed to their doxing so that the police are afraid. And that's obviously a non-starter. But it's an interesting question. Should police in a representative republic, in a constitutional republic, wear masks? And the answer is, yeah, I don't think so. It doesn't make me happy when I see cops in masks. I think that policing in the United States is broken and has been for many, many years. And allowing them that extra layer of anonymity is a dangerous thing. That being said, they should never be exposed to the lunatic left and their desire to go, kill these cops in their homes or burn them down with their children inside. But anyway, it's just a thought. What do you think?
I agree with you on that. It is, yeah. I mean, but I mean, it would sort of presuppose that we do have a stable society where people, regardless of your political bent, so to speak, act reasonably, rationally, and respect other people to to preserve the civil society. And of course, we do not have that. Unfortunately, we have one side being the leftists who are passing shields out to both hide themselves, their identities, and also to protect themselves from the police using tear gas and whatever else to disperse them when they create riotous situations and attack the police with Molotov cocktails, with bags of urine and feces, and you name it, or whatever. And so there are masks, and then there are masks. And yes, unfortunately, police can be bad actors, and as we have seen in some blue cities, they will not, and you can understand in a way, they will not, uphold their oaths because they're, first of all, some of them are being held back by some of the more notorious mayors and governors out there, and prevented, and they want to kind of preserve and protect their frickin' pensions and their jobs. And in a way, it's understandable, if not, sad, a sad state of affairs. But yes, yeah, these the bastards on the left are now hell-bent to go after anyone in law enforcement, and they view law enforcement, thanks to their constant barrage of propaganda, that Hitler is a tyrant and worse, rather Hitler, that Trump is worse than Hitler. He's literally a tyrant, and America is going to throw us all into can throw the Democrats into concentration camps and worse. And so that's why we have these riots and insurrections in the first place, because we have this drumbeat of constant the use of the word fascist and Hitler. So,
Oh, he is right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I am pretty much anti-police in the United States. I despise the militarization of the police. I despise the way they behave with normal human beings. I despise the idea that that policing in the United States is sort of an us versus them thing. And the fact that they don't respect our civil rights, our constitutionally protected civil rights. But the left is doing a hell of a job of making me a rah-rah, the cops are right always, no matter what, kind of guy. Because as usual, they overreach. So they've lost an ally in me, at least on this narrow topic. So anyway, I just thought it's an interesting philosophical question. But at this point, hey, let the cops bring out the batons and start beating heads at these riots, at these protests, because I'm sick of it.
Yep. So many people are there. I mean, it is just, I mean, again, it's a marker, an unfortunate marker of the state of the rot of our society that, a profession and a job of people that we used to sort of, as kids, we used to admire, theoretically anyway. And now it's been degraded to such an extent where, even when you see someone like, what happened with George Floyd, and and with Derek Chauvin being railroaded on a murder charge, it's all of a sudden, you just shake your head and go, God, how far we have fallen. And we have got to, but maybe as we've mused about this with the LA insurrection, the immigration riots, finally maybe people will get their heads out of their asses and vote the right way. And
You're not
that
holding
is a
your
nice
breath, are you?
segue. I am not holding my breath. But it's also it's a nice segue to what's going on in New York with their upcoming mayoral race.
Yep. So the New York City mayoral candidate named Brad Lander, who is the, I think he's the current comptroller of New
That
York
is
City,
correct.
which is a powerful job, by the way. He went to an immigration court hearing and tried to lead one of the people who were being one of the people who's being arrested by ICE out of the courtroom and I guess to freedom, run, run like the wind. And the officers who were arresting this guy or detaining this guy would have none of it. And they I mean, go to the internet and watch the damn videos. It's great. They manhandled them. You can't do that. You can't interfere with legal policing. And that's exactly what Lander did. And he got smacked around. Not really. But he was arrested. And that's a fine thing. And I would love to see him tried and convicted of interfering with the lawful, whatever the charge would be, but the lawful behavior of police officers.
Boy, I think we're whipsawing, boy, but I think I got whiplash. We go from one
I know.
subject where we're bitching at the police, saying how corrupt they are, and meanwhile we're cheering them for freaking nailing Brad Lander. But I guess okay, whatever, we'll take it. I mean, this is on the heels of this bastard from California, this, and he wasn't a cop. This Alex Padilla,
Oh my God.
literally bull rushing Kristi Noem. Now, Alex Padilla, for those who don't know who he is, and I wouldn't blame you for not knowing, he is a senator of all things from the state of California. But he is such a backbencher and so invisible, except when he's probably in the cloakroom molesting a young page boy or whatever, that nobody has ever seen this guy before outside of his own state. And so here's Kristi Noem, and with all these rioters and everything going on in the country, and every time there's a congressional hearing, the code pinko leftists and the other Democrats allow the hordes to come in to disrupt the proceedings. And he's being bullish. He's being bull rushed by this guy. And I'm surprised that if she were armed, I wouldn't blame her necessarily for pulling out her gun and ventilating this guy, because she had no idea who this guy was.
Yeah,
Oh my God.
I'm a little disappointed that he was able to get that close to her.
Exactly. It's
Yeah,
crazy. Who knows who the
he got
what,
exactly what he deserved. Actually, he didn't get what he deserved. He should have been knocked down and handcuffed on the floor and dragged out of there. It was completely inappropriate behavior. It was violent behavior, and we should not tolerate that. We
but.
supposedly are a civil society, and what he did was absolutely uncivil. And he should have paid far more consequences than what he's going to pay. And by the way,
It was
he got off the, he was on the Senate floor whining and bitching and moaning and actually literally crying about, oh, the terrible treatment that he received at the hands of her security. It's embarrassing. Again, go to the internet and watch him cry about this. He's being pilloried on social media for it because he really does sound like a whiny little snot.
Well, it was a stunt, and it was a very,
Oh,
as we say in
absolutely.
parlance,
Absolutely.
an uncunning stunt.
Yeah.
Very stunning, you know what. Transpose those letters, my friends. So we won't do it here for the sake of not being whatever, but in any event, yeah, I mean, who else did that recently? Some other left-wing a wipe also did that,
Oh
some other
God,
stunt. I
yeah.
forgot who it was,
Yeah.
but I mean, just give me a Hakeem Jeffries, I think. It's problem, yeah, whatever.
Somebody like
And
some
they're always
idiot.
pulling this crap, but I mean,
Yeah.
give me a break.
So I saw something in the news that I thought was very interesting. Donald Trump, the Trump administration is considering the use of a Cold War law. I guess it's a law, maybe it's a something else, but to fund rare earth projects that it deems critical to our national security. It sounds like it's a fancy term for subsidies. And I understand the importance of these rare earth elements, and we need them in abundance to maintain our technological edge, to maintain our military edge, and to maintain our standard of living in the United States. They're a part of so many of our modern conveniences and modern necessities that it's a no-brainer that we should produce these, we should mine and refine these compounds in the United States. However, the problem is it's a single company. There's only one domestic producer of rare earth metals. I guess they're mostly metals. It's a company called MP Materials Corporation. And this smacks of cronyism, and it smacks of somebody getting a payoff, and it's just awful. And now I'm going to hold my nose and support it because we actually do need these materials. But the real problem, of course, is that we have regulated the competitors to this company to death, literally to death. They're gone. They don't do. They're not in this business anymore. And instead of subsidizing the only producer, perhaps the United States should simply remove the impediments to entry, the barriers to entry to this very, very important segment of our economy.
Well, of course, the biggest barrier of all, and I agree, you're echoing, you're singing to the choir, my friend, at least to me. Yes. And first and foremost, we must abolish the Richard Nixon EPA and get rid of these regulations. And that doesn't mean we allow people to pollute and dig and do things in unsafe manners, that which we have plenty of laws and safeguards that will that do and hopefully do prevent those things. I think it's those things more than a regulatory agency and hopefully, such as they are, the morality and the decency of businesses to do things in a responsible manner. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And so, yes, let's not subsidize the one producer, but let's get rid of the barriers that prevent other companies from thriving, flourishing, providing jobs, and aiding and abetting America's continued advancement in critical materials and in so on and so forth, and our standard of living. That's what we should be doing. So let's do it.
Sounds like a plan. So I was poking around and I saw an article on a online magazine called Life Zet. I've never heard of them before, or maybe I haven't, I've forgotten. But the headline was very interesting. Democrats on defense. New poll shows this one solid blue state could be flipped. And that one solid blue state is my home state, or a sort of home state, New Jersey. And I've
Wow.
been hearing about this for several years that New Jersey can flip, New Jersey can flip. And it's probably not going to happen. They've got the Democrats have an apparatchik running for governor, and sadly, the Republicans have an apparatchik running for governor. Mikki Sherrill, you know her. She's a congresswoman. You've probably seen her. She's running against the Republican nominee named Jack Cittarelli, and he's a bit of a hack. He's sort of a serial runner. He just wants political power, and he's going to go after it in any way possible. He's also been critical of Donald Trump, which, by the way, is nothing bad, but he seems to go where the wind will blow him. But the idea that New Jersey is going to swing red is, I think, a fantasy. The Democrat apparatus in New Jersey is powerful, it's well organized, and it is corrupt beyond belief. The Republicans are soft, they're unwilling to spend any of their money, and they just like to get invited to the cocktail parties in Trenton. That's it. It's a worthless state Republican party, and the idea that Cittarelli is going to be anywhere near winning this governorship is, I think, a fantasy. Yeah, he might get close, but he's going to lose by 5 or 10 points.
Who was the last one? Kane, was he the last Republican governor? Was it Whitman? I forget which one was the
Was
last
Whitman? I
Republican.
don't think the Whit. Yeah, she
No, she's
pretended
not
to be a
Republican.
Republican. Yeah.
Republican, that's true. Yeah. So there you go. There's pretend Republicans and Republicans. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's and of course we've discussed the whatever the situation with regards both to California and the possibility of that or New York. And of course, again, that's also a Hunter Biden crack pipe dream. So forget it. It just ain't going to happen, folks. But it would take some sort of a miracle for that to happen, or
Yeah.
literally the mass wiping out of voter rolls and of whatever the reinterment of the dead voters once more without their ballots.
Yeah. So Cittarelli or Cittarelli, sorry folks, I don't remember, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He ran against Murphy last time in 2021. And he was beaten, although it was pretty close. That was impressive. Murphy is such a sleazebag of a governor that, he is certainly vulnerable. But even then, the late ballots came in from my county, and I think from wherever
Just
Newark
was
is. I forgot which county that is.
Bergen County and
Yeah,
whatever county.
I'm
Yeah,
Bergen County,
it's
but
Bergen.
yeah. And of course, that pushed him
Morris
over the
County.
top. So it's, but listen, this is New Jersey. We have a former senator who just reported for jail today, which or yesterday. So
My name is.
yeah, we've got some prime dreck in our political apparatus in this state. So anyway.
I am, just back to New York over the river there. I am of the firm belief, and I've stated this. I really think that Lee Zeldin likely came either extreme a lot closer, or he may have actually won the governorship over this Hochul. But of course, the cheat machine in Albany being what it is. But we have Lee Zeldin at the EPA, and from what I can see, he's doing a great job there. So keep it up.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good man. And I would
He is a
agree.
good
I
man.
think he probably did win that. Not by much, but I'll bet you he won.
Yep. Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
Keep our fingers
it was
crossed.
very
Things could
close,
happen.
wasn't
It was extremely close, and I don't know that he was going to do a recount, or something happened where they didn't do it, and then it just again, it was one of those things where, to the end of the day, they recounted, and yep, Hochul wins it. Yay! Hooray!
Yeah, here it is,
And
53.2% to 46.8%. That's not
in
much.
New York.
In
That
New
is in New
York.
York State.
Yeah.
That is not much at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So,
oh
anyway.
well.
So what else is going on in our wonderful, crazy world?
Well, that's pretty. I mean, really, it is the Middle East. It is, Iran and Israel, and hopefully that portends some good things. Will we get involved? I certainly hope not. Or at least if we do, it's done in such a way that it does not redound on us, on the president, and on anyone in any negative political way whatsoever. But I think Israel is going to complete the job, and I certainly hope the long-suffering Iranian Persian people are liberated. And we shall see. As I think we talked about before the broadcast, the son of the late Shah of Iran was encouraging his people to help overthrow the mullahs. And the mood of the people is such that they are fed up with this and they want freedom. So hopefully, instead of what happened in Syria, we don't get ISIS 2.0. We actually do get a, relatively speaking, you ain't going to get Jeffersonian democracy, but at least we get some sort of a free and sane society that will steer away from communism, socialism, from globalism, and from Islam, and be more in our sphere of influence. Let's hope. And hopefully the Chi-Coms will not do what they can to help prop up the mullahs, which they need, because if Iranian oil goes, China loses a huge, their economy
Yeah,
you can is
because
right down the toilet.
they're buying it at a huge discount because they're subverting the sanctions that have been placed on Iran.
They don't care.
So no, they don't. Of course they. Oh my God, they love it. Discounted oil. It's fantastic. It's great for their economy.
Yeah. That's why any kind of potential, as I mused this morning in the report, any kind of potential terrorism shenanigans that could happen here in the States, I would venture to say that because we also have a lot of Chi-Coms and Chi-Com agents in this country, they may be hand in hand helping out the potential Islamic terrorists here do some hinky shenanigans that could, oi. So
Yeah.
that's worrisome.
You know, you see what Israel did in Tehran with just a few drones. They, huge damage, and we aren't nearly as militarized as Iran is. So the capacity for damage in the United States is huge. And
Well, if
these, as you,
9/11 wasn't a wake-up call, I mean, box cutters took down the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, so
yeah.
hello.
Well, mostly our stupidity took down the
Yes,
Twin
indeed.
Towers, but I'll anyway. Well, that's a cheery note. Thanks for
You are more than welcome, but anyway,
that.
I'm Yisrael Chai. Go all the way. God bless the free, wonderful people of Iran, the good people. God bless Israel. God bless America. And man, just praise the Lord and pass the heavy ordnance ammunition.
Yeah. Well, with that, folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. And we will talk with you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, everybody. God bless you all. Thank you for listening, commenting, participating, and we will see you next week here at the Cut Jib Newsletter Radio Network, around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you, Alles, everyone. Until next week.
Thanks for listening, folks.